It sucks always switching between like Christine and I, our setup for like anime reactions or reviews, to when it's just me. It's like
you're just like moving it though, like
no, the whole setup, like everything's different. I got a couch that you can kind of see in the mm-hmm. webcam. Everyone else can't on my Lumix, but you know, I got to move that. The camera is angled differently, so like basically I want a new room where we've got two setups.
man,
this room's definitely not big enough, and I'm not well off enough, which you guys could fix by subscribing and watching more. Oh, I guess that's just a great way to start. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and Genreverse Podcast Network on all your favorite podcast apps. Well, most of them, Stitcher, Apple, Google, Amazon, others. Check those out. Spotify. There's the S I was looking for. I'm Kyle. That's Manny. At that Kyle Malone on Twitter, at Manny Gomez Media on Twitter. Check out our parent website, if you will, lrmonline.com, every day for all entertainment news, needs, opinions, written articles, and reviews, and more. Whew, man, I don't know how to feel about the box office, because one, I want to be ready for this movie to do, and this movie being Avatar, The Way of Water, to do what the last one did, which is have long legs. But we know that the movie consumption market has drastically changed. The consumer has drastically changed. But we can't help but say it underperformed versus most guesses. So let's go ahead and talk the numbers. Avatar: Way of Water bringing in $134 million, down from early guesses of upwards around 180, down to 150 right before the week, the Thursday hit. And yeah, now it comes in at 134. So congratulations to Manny, who guessed 130 when we had our revised numbers. Good guess, Manny.
Not a guess. I do this for... this is what I do. What are you talking about? Yeah, well, I mean, I did...
Have... You rose yours up. I dropped mine down, and it's cool. But yeah, good guess, man.
Well, yeah, it just seemed like a good number. And I wasn't surprised, and I'm not worried, because we follow the numbers the last 2 years. You and I sit here every Monday, most Mondays, and look at them. And by this point, we have a pretty good idea of kind of what cinema's looking like.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes just based on what is out there that people want to assume that something's gonna do good because it did in the early 2000s or whatever the heck this was.
Yeah, we had a commenter on our guest last Monday, our last guest, who said opening above 200. And now I originally said potentially 200, and I dropped down to 180 because there was some, you could see them doing a lot of buzz, and I was curious as to whether or not it would help out, but nope.
No, I talked to too many people who are really over Avatar. Yeah. As far as 10 years, it was 10 years ago, and really there's nobody who disputes that it is
a visual treat,
but as far as the story, it's like, you know, it's kind of atypical,
so, yeah.
But what I was doing is looking at other films that were in the top. And I think one of the ones I like to look at was, like, for example, Spider-Man No Way Home.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the most popular films of the year. It did have an 83.9% drop after its first week.
Yeah.
Which was insane. And then even if we go over to the Top Gun, it did have a 50, like it's probably one of the lowest drops we've seen. It had a 51.9% drop after its first week. But that movie had a wider appeal than Avatar has.
67. Spider-Man No Way Home had 67% drop, not 80.
Probably looking at another number.
It's all right. I got you. Yeah, 67. That's been like the, because a year ago in 2021, you and I were watching movies hit and watching people be like, oh my God, it had a 63% drop. It had a 72% drop. And you and I were some of the first that I know were like, wait, this is becoming a pattern. These types of movies are all just so heavily front loaded. And yeah, we talked about how people aren't having to wait for crowds to die down because you don't have to wait for the best seats. There's assigned seating. You can pre-order your food and drink. You just show up when the movie is about to start, 30 minutes after start time, to account for trailers. And movies were so front loaded that the big drops became normal. So you and I, we kind of figured somewhere in that 65 to 70%. If you're a blockbuster, the days of 50% drops are almost completely gone. Top Gun being one of those outliers, and then a lot of family friendly movies and things that weren't necessarily must sees. Those usually would do, you know, in that 40-50% range. But yeah,
I mean, they can still probably have that drop. But what, like for example, Minions is going to do is it's going to have a little bit more of a consistent run. Mm-hmm. The following few weeks, and that's because it's, you know, it's really feel good, it's not that long, it's kind of fun, and I just don't see that for a movie that's over 3 hours long. And
I don't disagree.
And I think it's one of those movies that it's a Disney product. So I think that people, this one in particular, especially for the length of it, mm-hmm. You know what, we could probably wait. It's just I think it's just what it is, as far as it's like, I'm very curious as to what numbers it will do next week. That'll be very telling. But it's already fallen short from what they thought they were going to get this weekend. And, right.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And so, if it does follow, if it itself is indeed front loaded, now I know I saw, I can't remember who it was, so I apologize, but I saw someone bring up the point of, and I didn't check to verify, like, pre-sales or you know, when you go on Fandango or whatever, you can see what seats are available. But someone was pointing out that a lot of people are waiting for the best seats in the middle at the premium screens. There's less premium screens, so you'll see less of a drop as more people go to experience it the best way possible over the coming weeks. And I know there will be some people that'll do that. Maybe someone, and this isn't a movie where you're necessarily worried about it being spoiled while you wait for that perfect seat. You know, this isn't Infinity War. This isn't a Star Wars middle chapter or anything like that. As much as James Cameron might want it to be, So I can see that, but I don't know if that's enough. And yeah, that next week, this upcoming weekend will be a huge tell. If it has a 65+% drop, then it's just par for course. And we could almost say that this movie doesn't even break 600, you know, million on the domestic side. However, if it comes out with a 50% or less drop, I think that 500 to 600 becomes more reasonable. The people that were thinking that this was a easy $600+ million domestic take, I don't think so. Those that thought this was going to be a $2 billion movie worldwide, I really don't think so. It would have to do gangbusters in the foreign markets like China, and I just don't know if it does or not. Not that it's going to do bad in China, but what do you think this movie's end domestic take will be, Manny? Let's try to extrapolate that.
I'm gonna go. Let's see. We're already at 1:30. We have two holidays coming up.
We do
holiday weekends. I'm gonna put it in. $360 million.
Yeah. Okay, that's a bit lower than me. Again, I should lower my guess, but.
Well, are we talking worldwide or
no, this is just domestic
right, okay now. Yeah, 360.
I feel strong that this as of right now, without seeing the second weekend drop, I'm going for 400. I'm going for 400 million.
No, and, we're not that off for each other.
No, not when you're talking a cumulative theater gross. That's not too bad. Usually people are like, oh yeah, 350 to 400. So we're within 50 of each other. I don't even want to guess at worldwide, because China is such a question mark. Yeah. Despite the fact that we know they eat movies like this up.
They're having,
and that Fox, excuse me, not Fox, Disney is very, very happy that this is supposed to be getting a Chinese release. But yes, there's a lot of things going on in China, so I don't want to even guess. But once that does hit, we'll get some what's the word I'm looking for? More clear signs of what this movie does. Do you think James is disappointed right now?
Yeah, probably. I think he thought that everybody held this so, you know, regardedly close to their heart and everything. He's not as upset as The Rock is, but, I think overall, like, for the money that they spent on it and the time that they spent on it, And the animators that they probably I'm just kidding. That was gonna be a bad joke.
The animators they paid so well and did not overwork.
Yeah, it's a disappointment, but I think also 2022 has shown that kind of the reality of a lot of these films. I'm very excited and interested in watching 2023 coming up, because quite a few movies coming out. There's a long list of movies, and I just don't know if Avatar becomes the last movie that they really spend this kind of money on, and then going forward you have to start
maybe you got to start
using the volume a little bit more and not making movies over 3 hours. it's gonna happen.
I know it is.
Amazon has their own ones now too. They had a video presentation on how they have their own that over at Prime. And so is this it? Is this the end of the big budget era here? Because like, hell, I've seen some of even the promo posters for Shazam. They look all horrific.
Yeah.
Poor Megan Good looked like they just like took her head and put it on a on a dummy's body. I don't know what was going on there. I'm gonna stick at 360. That's around what like Minions did, Jurassic World, Batman. So, and I do not think it has the draw for even a Multiverse of Madness or a No Way Home.
Yeah. Like I said, and a lot of people, they love their home theaters set up so much that the even though seeing this in a premium format is what it was made for. And for those of you that don't know, that's like your ScreenX, your IMAX, your RPX, premium for large formats, things like that. That's what it was designed for. So many people have, the TVs these days are bigger and better and less expensive than ever before. And a lot of people are satisfied with that and their crappy soundbars. that's an old insult from the military. Sorry. Soundbars proliferated through the army ranks like STDs. Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, it was awful in Germany. Medical professionals aren't supposed to share personal data, but yeah, every now and then their gossip is too juicy to not listen to. dude, it was bad in Germany. Anyways, off the bad jokes. We'll see that second weekend drop is going to be the big tell, guys, on mm-hmm. this film. I think if it comes in 50% or less, I think that's a great sign, and then it has a much better chance at pushing towards 500. But the thought that this was even going to do the numbers that the first one did is just going on out the door. And maybe this is proof, guys, that under 20 years is not enough time to really truly be nostalgic, unless for some ungodly reason you're a Foxman or Amazing Spider-Man movies fan. For some ungodly reason, you guys got nostalgic for something that's not even that old. Anyways, you want to talk about stupid ideas, Manny? I got a stupid idea for you. And this is only a stupid idea on the surface. Let me say that up front, because we don't know any of the direction that this is going other than the source material and the studio behind it. If you were going to do another Spider-Man villain spinoff, Manny.
Oh yeah.
Who would you go with of all of the villains out there? I mean, you've got Norman and Harry Goblins, you've got Demo Goblin, you've got Venom. Well, we've already had that. Kraven, they're doing that one. I mean, what about, you could do a Doc Ock, you know, a different spin on that. You have some of the new ones like Jackal and Screwball and the Freak that freaking what's his name created after One More Day. Would you pick any of those?
I wouldn't do one, period.
what about someone like Hypno Hustler? Didn't you always want to see a Hypno Hustler solo spinoff film from Sony? Isn't that the dream?
I haven't wanted to see any of their spin-off movies, and that includes Venom and Venom 2.
Did you read about this, man? Donald Glover?
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, from THR, who admittedly, guys, does not have a great recent track record. That doesn't matter, but Donald Glover set to star and produce a Spider-Man solo movie. This is not an official thing. This is what sources tell The Hollywood Reporter. Miles Murphy, the son of actor and comedian Eddie Murphy, is on board to write the project. Look, you could do a blaxploitation film, because that's kind of what the shtick of this character looks like on the surface. I cannot ever actually remember reading a single story with this character. It's like when I found out that Crazy Quilt was a bad guy for Batman. I was like, wait, what? And I was very much an adult when I found that out. So I know that there's a there's something that you could do with this in a very tongue-in-cheek, very, very reference type way. But this is Sony we're talking about, that are going to have Kraven the Hunter somehow be a hunter without being a hunter, and they're not going with the big game conservationist style hunter angle, because that would be too positive for hunting. And although those are some of the most, you know, animal friendly people you'll ever meet, and dedicate a whole lot more time and money to saving animals and conservation than most of us do, but because they shoot them every now and then, they get treated like crap. I just have to say that it's not crap hunters. But anyways, I'm rambling. I can't, dude. What is up with Sony, man? I mean, they're giving us Terminator for Madam Web, where from all the leaks and stuff, it looks very much like it's gonna be keep baby or unborn Peter Parker safe alive. You know, save John Connor to save the future. They got their Kraven crap. They still wanted to, guys. I remind you, Sony wanted to do the freaking Aunt May spy movie. Like, why can't we do something with them? Amy Pascal and them are fracking idiots. Hypno Hustler? What the hell, man?
Then we got the Bad Bunny one.
And oh yeah, El Morte El Morte. That keep one, going. the bad bunny one.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, obviously they're just trying to make sure they keep the rights to Spider-Man.
I mean, what's the new deal? You must release one shitty movie every other year, or you lose them.
Probably.
you don't need to do this. I mean, you really don't. And I just I hate Sony so much.
I know, man. they are pretty terrible. I don't really have much to say on it, because of the fact that I just really don't care.
But it's not even that I care, because it's not like I didn't like either of the Venom films, and I didn't watch Morbius. I'm not going to ever. I have no interest in Madam Web or as of right now, Kraven, of course. That being said, it's just it's that whole watering down of things,
yeah,
right? It's mm-hmm. that whole going to the well till it's dry, and then squeezing muddy, you know, water out of the clay at the bottom of it. It hurts everything. It draws everything down, especially when you get when Sony, you know, do their whole "we're MCU, but we're not," and you do confuse the normies. but not only does it do that and hurt box office in ways, it literally, it's just like bad Star Wars, but worse, because there's so much less Star Wars, that every bad Star Wars project that hits, Kenobi, freaking Book of Boba Fett, the sequel trilogy, Solo, like whenever a bad one hits, it hurts everything else, and the sequel trilogy just completely rips apart the original trilogy, to where, like, even though there's good things to watch in the sequels, you don't want to, because you know what comes next, you know what the landing point of it is, and it's trash.
Yeah.
So this stuff pisses me off, man.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, because other companies are trying, and Sony's just kind of like, I don't know, playing in the mud in the corner of the playpen, with their backs turned to everyone. That's what it really feels like. Because the only things that have been successful that they've done has been in partnership with Marvel Studios, if you think about it.
Since Spider-Man 3, yes.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man 3 was horrific. Solely a success on its opening weekend. And the people, you know, coming to see Venom before they all found out how awful it really, really truly was.
Yep.
And everyone will tell you that it was a trash movie. Well, I say everyone, but you've got those out there these days that are like, oh no, it's good. It's severely underrated. You guys just don't get the genius of it. And it's like, no, even Sam himself is like, that movie is a mess and I'm sorry for it. You know, and we all know why it's a mess. They said you got to use Venom. You got to do this. You can't do that. And when the director himself says it's a mess, I don't want to hear someone sit there and give me some bullshit about it being a secret work of genius and tender love and care. And it's not. It was a trash freaking movie. But you know what? It made more money than the Amazing Spider-Man films. I wonder why that is, because people felt burned by Spider-Man 3 and then, you know, Amazing 1, Amazing 2. Oh, dear God, is that atrocious of a film? And I mean, God, guys, Sony, stop. Just stop.
Yeah.
Stop. All right. I'm gonna get off the Sony thing. You got anything else for us today, Manny? Because I don't.
So let me ask you, why are fans pretending like all of a sudden they care about the WB product known as DCEU now?
I mean, as far as I know, they maintained a relatively steady audience with expected drops as shows went on over the years. They had some misses that they kept on for too long. Batwoman, I think that was.
Oh no, not the shows. I'm talking about the movies.
Oh, movies.
Yeah, no, the shows had. Well,
you said CW, so
no, DCEU. I said DCEU, not
okay. I got confused. Okay. So yeah, about the rumors, some of which have been refuted. I know My Time to Shine jumped in on Twitter. I don't have these prepared for you guys, sorry. But I know that the I think it was THR ran an article saying Superman and Gal Gadot's cameos are gone out of Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman and Cavill Supes cameos are out of The Flash. And then there was some contradictions on Twitter, like I mentioned, but there was no James Gunn, which we know he likes to smack things down, but this isn't his movie, so to speak. This is a movie, you know, done under previous leadership and stuff like that. I'll point to what he said before. You know, we're going to keep what's working and not keep what doesn't, and now it seems more like he meant that as far as like a behind the scenes thing. Maybe certain writers, certain directors, certain projects that aren't connected, i.e. Joker and the Batman stuff. I do now think that people are right. We're getting a full and total, almost full and total, sans what I just mentioned, DCU reboot. And I mean, people did support it relatively. I mean, the movie relatively made money, but compared to Marvel, no. Compared to their budget, they were all profitable, more profitable than most of the things in the recent years. Mm-hmm. I mean,
make
better stuff.
Well, yeah, and I think that's what they're gonna do. But the people are
make better stuff.
And again, I'm talking about like a corner of the internet that that you see. We you and I have talked about how what we see on social media only represents a small percentage of of actual audiences. So what you think is this like massive wave of support is just really a very small percentage. So not a lot of people agree with you, and that's okay. The other thing I wanted to mention is, did you hear that The Rock refused to appear in a Shazam cameo?
Yeah, I did hear about that.
So my thing with that is, it's interesting. My whole perception of The Rock within this project is kind of shifting a little bit, just because of the fact that, I'm not sure exactly what his endgame now was with with this character? Did he really
I say that in a confusing way.
Like shit, like Black Adam's not at the top of the food chain.
He's not Darkseid. He's not a Thanos. Yeah. He's barely a Loki. I mean,
yeah, he's around.
I'm not saying he's not powerful. I'm saying as far as influence on DC and its bigger.
Yeah, and the only reason story. He was such a threat to Superman is because he used magic. And so like hearing that he refused to cameo in Shazam, it's like did you really think that you were going to be the top of DC? Because that was never going to happen.
If his movie was successful and it wasn't Gunn, like they weren't, you know, bringing in
blood, then that
was the whole thing. But no, but this, I don't even think if this movie came out 2 years ago, I think it would have still been a relative disappointment. And I mean, two years ago, as in like pre-pandemic, sorry, almost 3 years.
It was okay, but it wasn't it wasn't anything near what The Rock had like claimed it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then but now it's funny because everybody makes fun of his, you know, the power of the DCU shit. Like, well, it did. It wasn't with you though. Like, you weren't wrong, but you weren't right either.
It's rough, man.
I'm happy with the direction right now because at least they have a plan. Because the last few years they've just been like, here's this movie we're working on and this movie that hasn't happened yet. And we're going to push this back. And now it's all right. We got to get rid of these movies. Almost like. So it's funny because on one side, it's like Batgirl and a couple of other films. It's like, all right, cut, because we can't afford to do it and it doesn't go anywhere. So we're done. We're not doing anything. And then here come these movies and people are like, well, you might as well cut The Flash then. It's like, all right, like, which one do you want? I don't know. People are the absolute worst.
I will say this. I mentioned this in our Discord chat. You guys, there's a link to our Discord down below. You know, I said, is there any point in seeing the movies next year, sans maybe Blue Beetle, which seems like if they'll insulate enough to either let it be its own thing or, like they said, it's all connected, it can fit into the new one because they don't have to use any of the existing Snyder DCEU versions of anyone. They don't even have to mention any of the other heroes yet, right? But is there a point to Shazam 2 now? Is there a point?
Well, I think Shazam 2 can, like, you know, is a sequel anyway, and it'll wrap it up. And I do believe that Aquaman was going to wrap up kind of that, maybe a little bit, the story a little bit better. Because you couldn't continue that anyway, because you had to drop Amber Heard.
Yeah, but well, you can always recast.
Yeah, but they don't like doing that.
But Marvel sure does, unless you're the Black Panther. Old wounds, guys. But the Flash one is like one of those big ones. It's got the weight of Ezra Miller's legal issues and behavioral issues. It's got the fact that it was at one point looking like it was going to be the reset point. And I know lots of people that have been like, oh, you just have him wake up in a different body, in a different cast, and it's a different universe, and then it carries on. I don't even think they want that connected at all anymore. Like, I don't know if the Flash is any more of a jumping off point than it is just a, well, we've spent this much time and money on it, we should try to get something back. What do you think? Do any of these in any way lead to something new besides Blue Beetle?
No.
So do you think people will really care to watch The Flash then, knowing that it doesn't matter? Like you said, maybe Shazam and Aquaman because there's a story that it wraps up. But I mean, most people, except for, you know, the diehard Snyder fans, were not enthralled by Miller's Flash in Justice League. They were just like, eh, it's there. And then the Snyder version of it, they gave it a lot more depth and stuff like that. But, you know, if that was the draw that it was meant to be, and then we probably would have had more of that. But all the streaming numbers and watch numbers that have been released, and it seemed like it really wasn't the big draw that Snyderverse fans made it out to be. I don't know if it does well at all. I mean, what's the point?
And then, it's gonna recoup some of that money.
That's what they're hoping. But I'm saying for the audience, like if you're just a general fan and you like the whole connected universe and you're seeing that this is basically ending here, what's the point? You know what
the
I'm
point
saying?
Is and, to and go then, watch a movie.
Well, that's what Janet said. And I pointed out that, yeah, in general, but when things are meant to be connected, when they carry on from something before and are setting something up for the future, that's part of the movie. That's part of the experience. I mean, who goes and just picks, you know, some middle phase three film to start off with? You know what I'm saying? Like, and even then you still got the good stuff from before, and you know that it's going to continue on after. This isn't just some random movie that you're saying, oh, you know, just watch. No, it's got tissue. And I don't know, because I personally don't care. I'm not a big Flash guy. I don't like Ezra Miller's turn as the Flash. I don't like that line of films. So I wasn't, you know, psyched to see it regardless. But what about the average person? Let me know in the comments, guys.
Well, the thing is that the Flash also has never had its own movie. That and the too. Flash does have quite the strong following after the fan base it created, thanks to Grant Gustin's CW's Flash. So I do expect it to have at least a little bit of appeal. Also the fact that it's going to have Keaton's Batman in it. It's another reason to have a little bit of appeal, because that character is so beloved by many. I almost expect the marketing to shift over to Supergirl and to Keaton's character, to Sasha Kaye's character, and to Keaton's Batman, to kind of take away a little bit from the to kind of mask the, you know, all the stuff with Ezra in the background that happened. So yeah. It's gonna do fine. Is it gonna be one of the top movies of the year? I highly doubt it. It's gonna be kind of middle of the pack. I think even WB thinks that they just need to get through it and let's move forward. It's not even their project. It's almost like when a pitcher comes in with the bases loaded, if he gives up a hit, it's not on him. The runners are the responsibility of the previous regime. But like, I mean, like they got to finish it up. Shazam, I'm so excited for that because I really like the first one.
I liked the first one.
They have, mm-hmm. It has Helen Mirren, has Lucy Liu, which both I really enjoy. And then Aquaman, I thought it was, the first one was fine, and I enjoyed it enough to want to see more of it. So I will enjoy it for what it is. Yeah, well, you don't like things though.
It's all right. Things are awful. Have you ever seen things? Well, the thing trash?
I would defend the problem with Janet is that I would defend Janet a little bit more, but Janet likes The Last Jedi. And
that's unforgivable.
That's a horrific movie. Oh my god!
On so many levels, without even discussing Luke Skywalker, without even touching Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. Oh my god!
I can tear that film apart.
So really quick. The last
and then thing. Let me get started on Luke.
Oh yeah, jeez. So the last thing I wanted to talk about was that's interesting. On Twitter, I stand with Amber Heard just started trending. Strange. Let's click on it. Anyway, one of the last acts I wanted to grind this morning is you and I, we reacted to the Barbie trailer on Friday.
Oh, yeah. And apparently we are incredibly... one, somebody thought we were talking about women wouldn't know 2001 A Space Odyssey. And I'm like, no, we're...
Oh, no, we're not.
We're
everyone
thinking of youth.
Yeah.
We're thinking of youth, guys. Like, yeah. this toy, this doll is aimed at young girls, yes, in general. But movies are... They're trying to cast a wider net. But it's still going to be that like 5-year-olds to like 25, maybe 30-year-olds. And someone brought up a good point about adult collectors and things like that would get it. But again, in our entertainment, you guys just heard us talk about box office numbers for 30 minutes. You know, in our entertainment, like business minds, we see an age group and our interactions with that age group. I was in the Army for 17 years. I had young soldiers coming in fresh, you know, 18, 19 years old. When I was a recruiter from 2016 through 2020, I was engaging with, you know, high schoolers and college kids every day, just about. And you have small talk about entertainment, the latest movies and things like that. And it's not used in pop culture references as much anymore. Mm-hmm. Dave the computer isn't used as much as it used to be. So that was our mentality, but we got hit, man. People mad.
all we were doing was stating the fact that it was a reference to it. And it's like, yeah, no, we know movie. That. It's like you might, like, if you know, like, great, like, here's a cookie of one of the, you know, hundreds of thousands of movies or whatever that are out. And we decided to, because there's always going to be people who are like, where is that from? Mm-hmm. Because you know what it is does not mean that a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, like, it was a funny response, because I also got hit with a your commentary doesn't matter on Barbie. And
I love that.
And it's like, and that one actually, it kind of irked me a lot, because I do commentary on all movies. I watch everything. A, B, C list movies, all genres, rom-com, horror, action, thrillers, documentaries. I do my best to watch it all. And you and I sit here every day discussing trailers, discussing box office numbers, discussing us celebrities. We have conversations with filmmakers, actors, producers.
We're on social media.
And everybody in between.
People talking.
we're attending events with these people. We're watching screenings. We're invited for screenings. Our opinion is asked from studios. And because I'm not the target audience of a specific film, I don't get a say in it. I'm sorry, that's not the way it works. And just because you're a fan of something, obvious and actually may make your opinion worse. You may be a lot more biased than somebody who's looking at it from an outside perspective. And I mean, while you may be looking for just a certain references to set product, in this case Barbie, we're looking for a whole lot of other things. We're looking for the actors playing the parts well. We're looking for a cohesive storytelling. We're looking for pacing. We're looking at, you know, there's you know, even soundtrack and all kinds of things like that. And then to find really, like, okay, this is going to appeal to families. This is going to appeal to older audience, a retro audience. This is going to appeal to younger girls and everything in between. If you think that you deserve more of a spot than some journalists who work on films every week, you need to go back 10, 15 years to when everybody else started. That's all I'm
all
saying.
Hate mail at Manny Gomez.
Go ahead.
Media
no, it's
Twitter.
Fine.
No, absolutely.
It's just ridiculous to think. I mean, it happened with Black Panther. There was people clamoring, give up your press pass for to somebody else more deserving to of the appropriate audience. It's like, it's not journalists' fault what color they are. They put in all the work for it. They attend all these screenings and Zoom interviews and live interviews and conventions and fill out questionnaires and do the social media pushes and everything that give them the access to these films, to all films.
I mean, we are under Latino Review Media LLC, so sending the Latino guy to represent the Latino website with a movie featuring a heavy Latino cultural influence doesn't seem all that crazy to me. I mean, I'm glad and wish, you know, maybe Jonesy, who's African American, could have also been sent, but he does Breaking Geek. He's in the military and is currently in Korea, so kind of hard to send that one. But there was one commenter that I wanted to highlight and I cannot begin to try to pronounce the name. It is on screen for anyone watching us on YouTube right now, but they said, they quoted us, you know, no one is going to get that. And he said, dude, every reaction I saw, people get it immediately, LOL. And I ask about, you know, the ages of these reactors, and I asked, are they reactors because they're movie fans plugged into cinema history? I really hope people that are reacting would have a bigger base of film knowledge and consumption than the average Joe. But again, it wasn't anything based on gender. It wasn't anything mean even. It's simply based on our kind of knowledge of target audiences, you know, what a movie is being targeted at. We all know that Mattel hopes this sells a shit ton of dolls to young kids. They'll be more than happy to sell a shit ton of dolls to adults as well. The studio wants this to appeal to a large audience, so they're looking for that. Like I said, about 5 to 25 years old is who they really want to see in this movie. And anyone and everyone, of course, but they want to hit home on that big demographic right there. And knowing what I see, what I hear, what I've interacted with over the last few years with people in young adulthood, late teenage years, having a young kid of my own, you know, my son's 9. You've got a daughter who's in older than my son, but not 17, 18. And we all have these different things going through our minds, and we all were kind of like, yeah, the average person this movie's aimed at is not going to get the 2001 Space Odyssey reference. They might have seen this used before, but are they going to connect it to 2001 A Space Odyssey and the evolution thing and all of that? We didn't think so. If we're wrong, fine. We're happy to be wrong. It would be wonderful if I don't know if it'd be wonderful for a 6-year-old to know 2001 A Space Odyssey that well, but it would be great for more people to have appreciation for a lot of these big movies. I mean, guys, the movie's 54 years old. I don't even expect a lot of millennials to know it in the general population, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was not meant to be insulting. It wasn't like, huh, we're so much better than you because we know it's 2001. It was just like, wow, that's a deep cut these days, guys. It's not used on The Simpsons anymore. It's there's no Mel Brooks movie coming out making fun of it. Like,
yeah,
it's just not used as much.
I agree. Yeah.
I guess that can be it for the day, guys. We do appreciate all the interactions that we get, good, bad, ugly, doesn't matter. It's fun as long as everyone understands that there's no mal intent. It's all good. It's all good in the hood, as they like to say. You guys can check out more hot takes here on our YouTube channel, the Genreverse YouTube channel. Lots of great shows, Daily Cog, Breaking Geek Radio. We kind of do the same thing, only Manny and I, shorter time, most days through the week. Breaking Geek only on Fridays. Cantina doing Star Wars, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, kind of on a relative hiatus until the next thing that hits, maybe with some news episodes every now and then. We'll see after the holidays. Anime Versal Reviews and AVR Squared doing, well, anime reviews and reactions. Genre Shot, trailer reactions. Lots of great content here on the channel. Everything that's not a reaction video goes up on our Podcast Network, all your favorite apps, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and more. And of course, I mentioned the website, LRMonline.com. Celebrity interviews, written reviews, news aggregation, opinion pieces, and more. Manny, anything else to say?
Yeah, finish your Christmas shopping, you bloke. And that goes to everyone.
Yes, I just sent out, my son made some stuff just in case my parents, every now and then they'll watch stuff from here. So I won't say what it is, but he made something for them, and that got sent out today. So anyways, guys, we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.